How do you do? Young people delight in running with the right crowd, being seen as cool and popular, even though the right crowd might be doing the wrong things. The young man in the following story was living life in the fast lane, oblivious to the danger of where he was headed and with whom. But his eyes were open to the truth, the night his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in the history of broadcasting, produced in Chicago before a live audience by Pacific Garden Mission. Looking at some of the homeless people who come to Pacific Garden Mission, you might doubt that they could ever change, and yet the motto is, never give up on them. No matter how hopeless a man or woman may appear when they come to the mission, the imperishable seed of God's Word is planted in their hearts, and God's love flows through the many gifts each one receives. Nourishing food, fresh clothing, a safe bunk, and medical and dental care are all provided free, thanks to friends who give financially to keep the doors open. And those who receive the gift of new life are forever changed, like the young man in this story. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2687 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, Jim, skipping church this morning, I see, huh?
Dad finally let me off probation, so I raced over here. Let's party!
All right, I'll get my stash. You got money for beer?
Yeah, I got paid on Friday.
I'm glad somebody in this crowd works and has money.
I was so stoned this week, I put the crank arms on backwards on some guy's racing bike.
Did he notice?
Yeah, I fixed it. Good thing I was the only one working.
I got the keys to my dad's wagon. Whoa. Let's go joyriding.
Hey, dude, don't shake up the beer. Oh, look out. Oh,
so much for your dad's car. Yeah.
Oh, man. There's a cop sitting over there.
He's turning on his lights. He's coming after us. Yeah,
hang on. Get rid of the beer.
What about the pot?
I ate it.
The young man in our story was a sophomore in high school, and like many teenagers, he was eager to try anything once, especially whatever challenged authority. He thought he was being his own man, but he was deceived by the oldest lie in the world, and he was anything but in control. This is the story of how that changed. The true story of Jim Gillis right now on Unshackled.
I grew up in Evansville, Indiana, where Dad was part owner of a successful business. I have three older brothers and a younger sister. Mine was a close and very religious family with many relatives. We went to church on Sunday and to private school during the week. I loved sports and played Little League baseball during the summer, but by the time I was 12, my rebellious streak was obvious.
I heard you had to grab your ankles in school today, Jim.
That teacher's mean, Dad. I wasn't doing anything.
That's what they all say.
I'm telling you, she's nasty. I saw her pick up a fifth grade boy and pound him back against the lockers.
Well, you must have done something to deserve it.
I told you how she slammed one guy's head in his desk when he mouthed off to her.
Wow. So don't mouth off. Yeah. She's one of the best teachers there. You're lucky to have her.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy.
Well, you know the rules. Trouble at school means trouble at home. You're grounded for 3 days.
Oh, Dad, I'm supposed to rake leaves today for Mrs. Potter. I need the money.
Rake the leaves, but come straight home afterward.
My parents instilled a strong work ethic in us, so I cut grass in summer, raked leaves in the fall, and shoveled snow in winter. After I took over the paper route from my brother, I always had spending money. I smoked my first joint with friends as I was finishing eighth grade. I loved being high and spent the first 30 days of freshman year stoned out of my mind. One day I took my bicycle frame and wheeled to a neighborhood bicycle shop.
What are you trying to do, Jim?
Well, I want to put a bigger wheel on this frame so I have more speed, but I can't do it myself.
You think this frame can be expanded, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, most people wouldn't realize that.
You know, I love anything with wheels, especially racing bikes.
How old are you now?
15.
Would you like a part-time job in the shop?
Yes, I sure would, Mr. Sanders.
My parents approved, and I took my new job very seriously at first, as my boss patiently taught me the basics. He even took Art, another mechanic, and me to a factory training school in Louisville one weekend. One night, we went out for pizza, and the boss ordered a pitcher of beer.
You boys help yourself to the beer.
Ah, thanks, Mr. Sanders.
What do you think of the training so far?
Well, it's not as hard to spoke up a wheel as I thought.
That's the main thing I wanted you to learn. Then how to assemble a new bike.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, sure.
Jim, he's really loaded on one glass of beer.
Yeah, look at him stagger. I think you'd better drive back to the motel, Art.
When the boss passed out in the truck, we knew he had a drinking problem. After that, we found bottles stashed all over the shop. We thought he drank because of his wife, who was bitter and hard to get along with.
Whew! How do you put up with her, Jim? Here, have a hit.
Well, we avoid her. I mean, today she got into a rage with one of the customers,
mm-hmm.
and the boss followed him outside to the car and apologized. He told his wife never to wait on a customer again.
You want me to go work there?
Except for her, it's great. We can get high as much as we want.
Well, you think he'd hire me?
Oh, sure. I'll give you a good reference.
Yeah. Smokes dope like a fiend.
Just remember, stay away from his wife.
Okay.
My friend lasted about a month on the job before the boss fired him. He just wasn't a mechanic. And our getting high in the restroom didn't help his work habits. By sophomore year, he and I were even daring enough to light up in the boys' room at school, but not for long.
This is good stuff.
Primo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can do so much better when I'm high. I haven't cracked the book yet.
Have you ever tried going to Phys Ed Stone?
Yeah, it's cool. I even light up in biology class.
Huh? You're nuts, Jim.
But you see, I have this single hit pipe. See, it's smokeless. When everyone is up walking around, I just kneel down under the back row of tables and light up.
You crack me up.
Oh, man.
The dean caught you smoking dope in the boys' room? What's wrong with you, Jim?
It wasn't just me. Kevin was there, too.
As if that's an excuse. I thought you had more sense than to smoke pot.
I was just experimenting, Dad.
Don't lie to me. You're lucky you weren't tossed in jail.
Yeah, I know. The dean told us to go home and tell our parents.
Were you expelled?
No. 2 weeks of in-school suspension and a month of after-school detention.
What else?
Well, we have to work detail on Saturdays.
All right, now it's my turn. You're grounded for a month.
Oh,
and I'd better not ever catch you smoking pot again.
Despising authority, my friend and I got high before detention after school and during work detail. Dad let me bike around the neighborhood, though, unaware that my drug dealer lived nearby. So I'd go to his house and get stoned. A month later, when Dad released me, my friend and I went joyriding. That's when he sideswiped a telephone pole and we were arrested.
This is the last straw, Jim.
I wasn't driving, Dad. Kevin was.
It's never your fault, is it?
What'd I do wrong?
The policeman said you had beer in the car and threw it out the window.
Yeah, well, everybody I know drinks beer. Big deal.
It's against the law. And I warned you about drugs.
It wasn't my car. I don't know how those drugs got there.
Don't you quibble with me. I've had a belly full of your stories.
Oh, nothing's gonna happen, Dad. Kevin's father has connections.
Sure enough, the court slapped our hands and let us go. Meanwhile, at work, the boss's wife made a rule that we couldn't work on our friends' bikes for free. One weekend on my day off, I replaced a free wheel on my buddy's bicycle. When I came to work on Monday, a check and a letter of termination were waiting for me.
How come I'm being terminated, Mr. Sanders?
You know the rules, Jim. You're not supposed to work on a friend's bike for free.
What makes you think I did?
You left the free wheel behind the workbench, and my wife found it.
It was on my off time. I thought it was okay.
If it was up to me, I'd let you stay. But it isn't up to me.
Well, I soon found another job at a bike store run by a man in a wheelchair. Because he rarely came into the back of the store, he was unaware of our dope smoking and dealing. All of us mechanics were doing drugs.
You're kidding. You guys are selling dope right out of the back of the store?
Yeah. We keep our stash hidden in drawers. Man. The boss never checks back there.
Hey, how do you fall into these deals, Jim?
I'm living right, I guess. One of the guys even lets me drive his car at lunchtime. Uh-huh. I drive it making donuts in that empty parking lot in the corner.
Cool.
Man, it's great to go biking in this weather.
Yeah.
I think the fresh air and exercise helps clear my lungs so I can smoke more dope.
By junior year, my friends and I developed a 5-minute ritual of downing half a pint of vodka and smoking a joint before school even started. Lunch consisted of sneaking across the street to smoke more pot at another friend's house. Then the bike shop went out of business and my job vanished again. I went to work at a third bike store. No one did drugs there, and I was eventually fired for not being productive. I was blind to the road I had chosen. Blind to the consequences.
We'll hear how Jim's eyes were opened in just a moment. Prayer is essential to us at Pacific Garden Mission, our source of strength, our shield, as we seek to follow God's will. We pray for every need, every guest, every time of uncertainty. Many listeners write and ask for prayer too, and we hold them up in prayer through our team of prayer warriors, a group of listeners scattered across the nation, but united in fervency for God. We send prayer requests to them, and they dedicate themselves to pray for each need. If you would like to be part of this group of prayer warriors, let us know, and we'll be happy to send petitions to you once a month or every 2 weeks, whichever you prefer. So if you're seeking a closer walk with the Lord, remember Psalm 145, verse 18, which promises, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Pray, and feel free to ask us to pray for you too. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
What's that horrible racket?
I'm testing my engine!
Well, kill it now before someone reports you for disturbing the peace.
I've got to see if it works, Dad!
Shut that thing off now!
How do you expect me to finish rebuilding the car?
I don't. Sell it now, as is.
I can't do that, Dad!
You're not taking that thing out of the driveway.
Well, I have to at least test drive it to get the bugs out. What would happen if someone came by and wanted to test drive it and it broke down?
All right, but just once around the block, and then you sell it.
Hey, Jim, that's a cool hot rod.
500 horsepower. I rebuilt the engine myself. Pretty cool, huh?
Boy, you're very handy with tools, aren't you?
Hey, man, this car will be unbeatable.
Come on inside. I have something you have to try.
Can you believe Dad wants me to get rid of the car? But there's no way.
Check out the article on that magazine on the table.
Okay.
The one about meditation. It'll blow your mind.
My mind is already blown.
I've been practicing meditation in the lotus position.
It helps to be stoned, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I have a new batch of Colombian gold you can try.
Show me the way.
Light up while I turn on the stereo.
I kept my hot rod and drove around, daring others to race me. Now I needed money for gas. There was only one bicycle shop left in town where I hadn't worked. And Dad's cousin owned it. So I went there to get a job, determined to be straight and not get high at work. But I didn't have the willpower. It bothered me that I couldn't even keep a promise to myself. By senior year, I had tried every drug imaginable, drawing the line at injecting. One night, we had a 3-keg party at my brother's apartment. About 2:30 in the morning, his roommate Dave, who was recently saved, came out with a Bible.
The Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death."
Okay. Let's get out of here.
Come back here, you guys. You need to hear this.
Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all separated from God by sin. And God says no one is righteous.
You scared them all away, Dave.
And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Well, I can't argue with that, man.
Listen to chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You really know that stuff, don't you?
Jim, do you realize that God sent Jesus Christ, his only Son, into the world, not to condemn us, but to die in our place? He hung on that cross for you. He bled and died for you to pay for your sins so that you could have eternal life.
That's heavy, man.
Yeah, and it gets better. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Come on, Dave, you're tearing me up inside.
It's not me. The Lord is touching your heart, Jim. Give your life to him.
I'm not ready for that. I have a job, a hot rod. I have all the drugs and friends I want. What more could a man need?
And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus warned us, Jim. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
I resisted God's word and carried on with illusions, too deceived by counterfeits to recognize the real thing. My self-interest left no room for others, not even the girl I seduced on graduation night. We had nothing more than an illicit relationship, which culminated in a crisis 2 months later when she told me she was pregnant.
So how's your girlfriend, Jim?
After I told her to get an abortion, it turned out to be a false alarm. So her mother put her on the pill.
How enlightened of her.
Oh, I'm not ready for fatherhood. Financially or otherwise.
Yeah. Having a kid around sure would cramp your style.
Oh, there's no way. I'm giving up rock concerts to rock a baby.
You ever thought about how many rock stars have overdosed on drugs?
Mm-mm. What's their lifestyle, man? Outstage your buddies, and privately they fight and steal each other's women.
Hypocrites.
Yeah, but we can learn from their mistakes.
Jim, if you'll pardon the expression, I want to be straight with you. I'm gay.
Yeah, well, no problem, Jerry. I'm not, but I have an open mind. I can accept that.
Good. I thought so.
How arrogant I was. Doing my own thing whenever and however I wanted. By the fall of 1980, I was once again out of a job because I came to work high and wasn't productive. 3 months went by without a paycheck. My hot rod needed gas, and I needed drugs and booze, so I went door to door looking for a leaf-raking job. Unsuccessful and depressed, I rode my bike to the store, and on the way I met up with Dave, my brother's roommate.
Jim, how's it going?
Not great. How are you, Dave?
Got a few minutes?
Yeah.
Come inside and get warm.
Thanks. I've been out looking for work. No luck, I might add.
Well, November's a tough time. Don't be discouraged, though.
That sign.
What sign?
That one that says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Dave, yes. This is the fourth time I've seen that sign in the last hour. Three of the last houses had that sign on the front door.
Jim, God is telling you that you'd better decide today who you're going to serve.
Wow.
Jesus or the devil. You've obviously been a very rebellious person, and this may be your last chance. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.
You're probably right.
Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?
All right. All right, I will.
Meanwhile, start reading the Bible. read as much of the Gospel of Matthew as you can before Sunday.
I began reading the Bible as he suggested, but that Friday night there was a big rock concert in Evansville. I was sure God didn't want me to give up rock and roll music, so I went to the concert with my brother and friends, where I smoked two joints and drank a pint of whiskey.
These guys are my idols, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to move up close to the stage so I can see each one and how they interact with the crowd.
Hey, whatever turns you on, man. You got enough dope?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I got my air guitar and everything.
Don't get lost.
Woo! I made my way through the crowd and stood 5 feet from the stage, right in front of the lead guitarist, who was performing wildly with obscene gestures. Suddenly, the lead singer held out his bottle of whiskey and shouted...
Not even God can save your soul at this concert.
I was horrified at his blasphemy and the crowd's approval. Why did he say that? My question was answered as they began singing a song about running with the devil. Suddenly, I realized that the devil is real, and I had been running with him all my life, no speed limits. And no stop signs. The illicit sex, drugs, and rock music were a waste of my life. Dust in the wind. Right there in the middle of the concert, I cried out to God, "What must I do to be saved? I want to stop running with the devil and start walking with you." And God showed me that I should throw the rock star's words right back to him. I cried out, "God, save my soul right here in the middle of this rock concert." The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And God saved me right there in the midst of an unholy song. For the first time in my life, I didn't want any more rock and roll music. Suddenly sober, I laid down my air guitar and headed back to my friends in the bleachers. My heart yearned for Sunday morning.
You had a real encounter with the Lord, Jim.
I sat there in the bleachers and God showed me the demonic control that was empowering that group. And the power flowed from them to the audience. It's like God opened my eyes.
That's exactly what he did. You have the Holy Spirit now to help you live for God.
My friends tried to get me to smoke some more dope, but I wasn't even tempted.
Praise God. You're a new creature, Jim. Jesus brought you out of darkness into his kingdom.
Thank God. I'm free of drugs and booze and rock and roll. I'm really free.
You should go forward at the end of the service and give your testimony.
There is power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you would like to confess him as your Savior, come forward now. Son, have you decided to follow Jesus?
Yes, sir. He saved my soul last night at a rock concert. He delivered me from drugs, booze, and rock and roll. And I want to tell the world how great he is.
Would the elders come forward and pray for this young man? Let's kneel.
My father was dubious about my salvation until a month later, when I decided to sell my hot rod. Seeing the change in me, he asked me to work in his business, where they would pay my tuition for electronics school. I wrote a tract describing my conversion, and several years later, that same rock group came to town. I went to the stadium several hours early, where hundreds of people were waiting for the doors to open.
You're all rebels, right? You wouldn't be here otherwise. You want the real thing, and I'm the same way. I came here to hear this group several years ago, and God showed me the futility of what they and the world offers. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll are cheap substitutes for the real thing. Jesus Christ is the truth that's missing in your lives. If you're looking for the greatest high in the world, give your heart and life to him. He'll take you to heaven.
Drugs are a trap, but Jesus will set you free. Drugs make you paranoid, but Jesus makes you his brother. Running with the devil leads to death. Walking with Jesus leads to life, eternal life.
Some of the roadies listened, then ran to the tour bus, got a video camera, and taped my preaching. They promised to show the video and copies of my testimony to the rock stars. Several years later, I learned that the rock group watched the video of my preaching as they traveled on their tour. And God's word does not return to him void. Each of us must choose whether to be for or against God. Choose life.
Listening, friend, God gave Jim Gillis a new life. Today, he is serving the Lord, happily married with two children. The power and the praise belong to our God, who says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." To learn more about new life in Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please visit our website at www.unshackled.org. Help spread the good news. Tell your friends about this program and invite them to listen next time. And please remember to thank the manager of this station who makes it possible for you to hear Unshackled. This is program number 2687. Heard in the true story of Jim Gillis were Larry Moran, Russ Reed, Steve Bayorgin, Jack Bivens, and Kim Rasmussen. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Brent Williams. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kanitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And we'd like to know if these testimonies make a difference in your life. So please write soon. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Are you disheartened? You can call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. 922-1462.